God's gift of grace to me. And we are going to be looking at a wonderful story, a wonderful account of God's gift and God's grace to a couple called Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth. And where can we find their story? We see their story in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 19. But before then, so that you will know that the gift of God called grace is actually a gift, let us see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Ephesians and chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and I read from the English Standard Version of the Bible. It says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Let me read this again. Ephesians chapter 2, I read verse 8 and 9. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Now, we've looked at Jesus being the gift, and let me acknowledge also that our brother, Daddy Pastor AY, really, really dealt on that when we took communion. He shared with us clearly, and we could see when he shared with us about the gift of Jesus himself. The greatest gift of all is the Son of God. When God said, "If I can give you my only begotten Son, how much more? What else can I not give you?" When you look at that scripture, you will see clearly that if God has given us the best, and what is the best? His Son, Jesus, what else can he not give us? So, and for us to have faith, it is a gift of God, but it's by grace. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us. So what are we looking at? We want to look closely at this couple called Elizabeth and Zechariah, or Zechariah and Elizabeth. And let's see practically how God gave them a gift of grace. Now, follow me, and let me just flow using, you know, the slide we have. Now, the scripture we just shared, again, let me bring it back so that you see. The scripture we shared, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Right, so in Luke chapter 1, and we see the story from verse 5 down till the end. I think it gets on to about verse 30. Luke chapter 1 from verse 5. We see the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth from the Bible. We see their wonderful story of the gift of grace that God gave to them. Now, I want to take it one after the other. All right. The story is very interesting, and I will say, please read this story. Go back after the service, grab popcorn, grab some orange juice, you know, and sit back and watch the Bible blown up before your face in 3D. Imagine you're watching a cinema when you watch, when you read this story in Luke chapter 1 from verse 5 down to the end, which is actually verse 45. The story of this couple, let's learn how they received a gift of grace. Remember, it's not by works, it is by grace, because you use faith and grace is released, and grace helps you and I to do what is impossible, to actually experience what is impossible. So step by step, let's go with the story. And I read the first verse, first from verse 5, let's read to verse 7. Okay, so come and let's take it step by step. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5-7, what does the scripture say? The scripture tells us that in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Hey, but verse 7 says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now, if you want to understand what that means, it means that they were both old, past the age that Elizabeth could conceive and give and bear a child. And Zechariah also was too old, an old man who had also kind of lost his sterility. Now, even if Elizabeth wanted to have children, the Bible declares she was barren. Listen, barren. Do you know what barren means? Barren literally means that she did not have the capacity to conceive the child. When something is barren, you see, I went to check off that word barren, and it's actually a very cruel word. I tell you, very, very cruel. Do you know what barren means? It means it is stiff. It means it is hard. It means it's unnatural. The natural is that this should be able to take in some seed, fertilize the seed, and produce. That's the natural order. But when it's unnatural, it means that it can't just happen. Barren means infertile, not producing, without capacity, fruitless. Listen, Elizabeth, the wife, was barren. So it's not a case of, oh, maybe she was miscarrying children. No, she couldn't even conceive, talk less of having a miscarriage. Completely barren. And you need to understand what this means. Now, if you look closely at that scripture, this couple, let me bring the scripture up again, and maybe you will see what I saw just this morning. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous before God. They did everything right before God. They walked blamelessly. They obeyed every commandment. They obeyed every statute. But verse 7 tells us they had no child. Clearly. Do you know the reason? Not because they were sinning. Not because they were not serving God. Not because they were not walking blamelessly. Not because they were disobeying commandments. Clear. Let's take the Bible for what it says. The only reason they had no child was because Elizabeth was barren. And sadly, at this time, no hope again in terms of age. Age was not on their side either. Listen, if it was in the present age we live in, she will have gone for all the medical tests and the doctors will have certified that, sorry, you are sterile. It's not a case of, oh, maybe something is wrong with your ovaries and we can check this. No, everything was dead, stiff, hard, unnatural. So what she was carrying there, naturally a woman should carry a womb. And the womb should have, you know, all the fallopian tubes. I'm not going into that because I'm not a science student, okay? But everything that should be there for her to receive naturally was not there. She was barren. Listen, barren. And that was the reason they did not have a child. But somebody will say, I hope you spotted that. Do you know who Zechariah was? Do you know exactly who Zechariah was? Zechariah was a priest. Do you know what a priest is? That is someone that his life entirely is devoted to God. That's all he does. Priest full time, doing the will of God, serving the dictates of what the word of God says, of everything the law expects him to do, of the commandments of God, and the Bible records blamelessly. So you couldn't find fault with Zechariah. And do you know who Elizabeth too was? Elizabeth too, according to the Bible, also like her husband, the Bible said they both. Come on, let's look at that scripture. I just love the Bible and take the Bible for what it says. They were both, verse 6, righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child. Not because they were not living right. Not because they were not serving God. Not because there were some witches from Africa or witches from America or witches from the North Pole that were bothering a life. Not because there was a curse down somewhere, iniquity down her lineage, because these are some of the excuses. They were walking with God. They were serving God. And that man called Zechariah was a priest. Guess what? His wife was also the daughter from a priestly lineage. Excuse me. If you are praying for a wife, you are a righteous man. You are doing everything. You don't misbehave. You're serving God. You're doing everything. You're obeying every. You are always first in church. You're always last in church. They need this in church. You are there. You do everything. But it wasn't just an ordinary person. It was a leader in the church. Zechariah was a leader. And his wife was always by his side. You could count on them. And from her lineage, priestly lineage, she was from the lineage of the first high priest, according to the Bible. Aaron was the first high priest God ever appointed in the Bible that, you know, told Moses to appoint. That was where she was from. If you are serving God, you are a holy man, you will pray for a holy wife. So they were both from a priestly lineage, but they had no children. Excuse me. Can I tell you something? This may offend your theology. The fact that you are serving God, the fact that you are always in church, the fact that you are living a righteous life does not mean you will have children. Let that sink. It does not mean you cannot be barren. Let that sink. You say, where did that come from? Did you just read Luke chapter 1? Let's not add anything to the Bible. Let's not take anything away. Zechariah was a priest. His wife was a priestly lineage, of a priestly lineage, serving God blamelessly, but still they had no child because the woman from the priestly lineage who's lived all her life, who's got a godly lineage and legacy from her great, 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 great ancestors was barren. And I begin to ask questions. My goodness, I thought that serving God, worshiping God, would exclude me from some problems. I even went to the book of Exodus, where the Bible says, none shall be barren in your midst. None shall even cast forth their young. None. And the conditions were there. You can, you know, you can check this out in Exodus chapter 23, verse 26. If you serve me, if you worship me, I will bless your water, I will bless your bread. All those conditions were there, given, you know, during the time of Moses by God. But excuse me, here, fast forward, a couple, priests, priestly, holy, pure, blameless, serving God, barren. You know, at times I don't understand God. If I have to confess to you, I am still learning. I don't know anything. And I keep going into the Word of God, read this Bible, not try to add anything, not try to take anything away, not try to make excuses for God. You know, at times we try to make excuses for God. That, oh yeah, you know, maybe you are, it's because of your sin. Maybe this is because your ancestors are. Please tell me the ancestors that Elizabeth had that sinned that made her to be barren. Excuse me. There's something we need to know. Listen, if you are suffering from any problem, the first thing you should do, like the father of faith, oh my goodness, the father of faith, Abraham, do you know the funny thing about Abraham too? Abraham too and his wife that God spoke, took out of an idolatrous background and said, walk before me, even as he was walking before God, the wife, Sarah, was barren. Come on, God, what are you up to? God, why is it that the people who serve you, the people who walk with you, seem to always have problems? And the problems are always very visible problems, problems that you can't hide. You know, they were always in church. Think about it, Elizabeth and Zechariah. And people saw them year in, year out. They probably knew when they got married. No child. And they were serving God. They kept serving God. Oh, maybe people will say, oh, maybe their children are grown up. They send them, you know, to another city. Nothing like that. Openly, because these guys, when you're in the lineage of a priest, you actually are ordained as a priest right from when you're little. So you're always in the public glare, in the public space. So everybody knew their story and their history. Think about it. How many children that Zechariah would have dedicated? How many people that Zechariah as a priest will have gone before God to plead for, to forgive them their sins, and God will forgive them, and they will go back home, have children, and even bring offering to the same man to make on their behalf. He had dedicated so many children. He had prayed for many people, many couples, but yet the wife was barren. Can you beat that? And I began to ask questions, and I want you to begin to ask questions too. Because why some things happen in spite of the fact that we are doing everything to serve God, to worship God blamelessly, but we seem to have problems. Now, time will fail me. I know we came on late, but pardon me, because today and next week, you will see some things that the God himself will expound to your heart, that your faith now will shift from you praying and your prayers, but your faith will shift to God himself. You know, the father of faith, Abraham, also had delay. His wife was pregnant, was barren too. Sarai was barren. But then he did something. Listen, you have to learn this in Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 15, God comes and makes a promise to Abraham. You will have children. Okay, the Bible said Abraham believed God. Remember, when you believe, grace is released. Grace through faith. So you have faith, grace is released. So he believes God. The Bible said, yes, it was counted unto him as righteousness. He didn't have to do anything, just believe. Okay, even Jesus said, only believe and you will see the salvation of God. He believes. But then, no child for years. And then he begins in chapter 17 of Genesis to have a conversation with God. He tells God, God, you've told me, I believe you, but why is it that I'm still childless? Why is it, Lord? God comes to him, Genesis 15, time will fail us. In Genesis 16, as a result of continuous delay, the wife ran out of patience and told, you know, they compromised. In Genesis 17, again, God comes back and Abraham was having a conversation with God. Let me tell you, it's time to have a conversation with God. When you see that in spite of everything you're doing, it seems like you are hitting some barrenness, unfruitfulness in some areas. Just have a honest, sincere conversation. Abraham told God, see, I'm going childless. I know you promised me, okay, maybe this guy, a servant born in my house, will be that child of promise. And God said, no. He even said, because in Genesis chapter 16, he had compromised, went in and slept with a housemaid and had a son called Ishmael. And he was even saying, okay, God, well, Ishmael is there now anyway. Let Ishmael, that's 17, chapter 17. Let Ishmael, you know, live forever. Maybe let him. God said, no. Conversation, a sincere, honest conversation. And do you know, Abraham, even when God told him again, is that Sarah that will have the child of promise? The Bible says he laughed. He laughed in his heart. But we can't hide our hearts from God. So have a heart-to-heart conversation with God today. All right? When it comes to that issue where you've done everything you could and you're still wondering, because God wants to tell you some things. I don't know what God exactly wants to tell you, but you have that sincere, honest conversation where you express your fears, where you express your cares, where you even tell God, you know, this, that. But listen, whatever God has promised, God will do. Listen, don't give up. Whatever God has promised you, I'm speaking to someone now, whatever God has promised you, you hold on, because grace is about to be released. Now, let's quickly round up and look at closely these two couples. Okay? So we've seen why she was barren. Zechariah was a priest, right? And Elizabeth was one of the daughters of Aaron. Okay? They were both righteous, blameless, walking blamelessly in all the commandments. And then, but they had no child. Reason? She was barren. That's all. Doctors will have confirmed it. Barren, and they were both old. And now, let's see what happens. So one day, Zechariah, that he's known as a priest, Elizabeth, wife of a priest, daughter of a priest herself, one day, after many years, many, many years, that nothing has happened. The barrenness didn't go. But Zechariah was consistent in spite of the issue they had. You can imagine the mockery. I know, I tell you something, people will tell you, you are praying for others. You call yourself a man of God. What can you show for it? No child. Others around you are having children. You lead prayer meeting. You are the choir leader. No child for years. Abba, sorry. You know, I'm just excited because let me tell you something. God is never late. God is never too quick. He's always on time. You need to have that honest, sincere conversation, and God will always reassure you every time you have that honest conversation. So if you fast forward, he was right every day. And he kept on, he was faithful, Zechariah. Elizabeth was faithful. So one day, he was the high priest. It was his turn to be the high priest. He went right then to what is known as the Holy of Holies, brought sacrifices, burnt offerings, and other offerings on behalf of people. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared to him and tells him, God is going to give you a gift. Ooh, let me read it to us. You will see it from the verse number 13 of, let's go verse number 11 of Luke chapter 1. There appeared to him an angel, all right, of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Listen, that day, that the angel appeared to him. What if that day, Zechariah said, God, you failed me. You know what? I'm resigning from today. I'm no longer a priest. This reproach is too much. I can't be telling everybody God is good. I can't be telling everybody that God has removed barrenness. God said there will be no barren in your midst. There will be no miscarriage. Your woman won't miscarry. And I'm seeing, I'm actually living what I'm saying God does not do. How embarrassing, how reproachful can that ever be? But this particular day, faithful Zechariah still went and consistently did his priestly duties. Listen, you are serving God. You are worshiping God. Keep on doing it. This is not the time to slow down. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to say, you know what? Like Job, even though he kills me, I will yet worship him. I will yet praise him. I will yet serve him. I will yet do the things I know to do. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not the son of man that he should repent. No. What he said, yes, exactly what he said is what he will do. So he goes into the temple this day, Zechariah, faithfully, consistently, and God decides to show up. Do you know what God said? The angel said to him, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. You shall call his name, John. And I pause to ask, barren woman, old Zechariah, still doing his priestly duties? Was he still praying? Were they still praying? Now, let's see the next few verses. It gives us an answer to probably what was in the heart of Zechariah when the angel came and said, I'm giving you a child, and you call his name John. We're going somewhere. Just give us a few minutes. I know we came on late. Give us 10 minutes, I'll wrap up. All right? He says, you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. Come on. Many will rejoice at his birth. Okay? Many are rejoicing now. All right? For he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine, nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Listen, pregnant woman, your child can be filled with the Holy Spirit right from the womb. That's just an aside. So pray on that child. Speak to that child in the womb. Those children in the womb, those twins, they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And likewise, let me warn you, children in the womb can also be filled with an evil spirit. That is one amazing principle I found out from the Bible. So watch over your womb, pray over your womb, pray over the children, pray over, keep on. There is a life growing in there, and that life will come to them and be born in the name of Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. But let's go on. He now says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to their God. He will go before him, the spirit of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, disobedient to wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Verse 18. Remember, conversation is very good. Have a conversation, sincere, honest conversation with God. Prayer is conversation. Now, Zechariah said to the angel, verse 18, how shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. She's also old. The angel responded, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Excuse me. I thought without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Zechariah and Elizabeth diligently seeking God, but he doubted God. He doubted the message. He doubted the word of the Lord. The angel said, you did not believe. So what was he praying? Was he still praying up to now? It shows now that they had given up. They had given up. So which prayer did God answer? Listen, the prayers you have prayed, you've forgotten, and you've given up on, God is about to show up.
Amen.
God Almighty, by His grace, is about to show up.
Amen.
It is not as a result of how much prayers you have been making. Listen, it's not the works. It's not everything you have been doing. No, if I do this, if I serve God more, maybe God would bless me. Maybe God would give me children. No, it is the gift of God that God was about to give. A gift that even, listen, I'm saying this carefully, even at your present circumstances, you've lost hope. You don't really believe anymore. Let me tell you one thing God taught me. Exactly December 1st, December of 2019, God taught me, at times you have faith in your prayer, but you don't have faith in God. At times we put so much faith in our prayer. Oh, I go to night vigil. Oh, I go every prayer meeting. I don't miss it. I'm there. And you think that God will reward you for your works, doing things. No, God rewards by His grace, favor. You do not merit, deserve a gift of grace. Do you know what John means? It means God is gracious. It means Jehovah is the grace giver. God was telling Zechariah, listen, even if you don't believe anymore, and listen, what we don't believe usually is we have done everything. We've done works and we've lost faith even in the works, but somehow God still shows up and chooses to show up by His grace, so that no man will share in His glory and say, it's because I did this, it's because I did that, it's because I did that. That is why God, no, grace. You just simply do one thing that Noah did when he found grace, and we see Zechariah also doing that and his wife. The Bible said they walked with God. Listen, do you know you can walk with someone? And even though, well, there's no way I can go anywhere anymore. I've come this far. Let me just keep walking with the person. Just keep walking with God. Do you know you can walk with somebody you don't understand? And that's exactly what faith in God is. We don't fully understand Him. We don't fully comprehend. How can somebody serving God years, years, and years not have children? It is by grace, through faith. Don't give up. All right? Let me close. And I'll show you my slide. Let's look at something closely. And look at the names of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and the child of promise. And clearly, I will round up with a clear message to you using these names. Zechariah means remembered of Jehovah. Let me tell someone listening to this, God has not forgotten you. God is still mindful of you. Anyone you walk with, you walk with God, you think God will forget you? You just keep walking. You may not believe, you may not know when, you may not know how. Keep walking. God will remember you. Elizabeth means the oath of God. Worshipper of God, literally translated. The oath, made an oath with God. You know what? Whether you answer my prayer or you don't answer my prayer, I am bound by you. I am bound by my vows that I've made, that I will walk with you. I will never go back into the world. It is too late for me to go back. I have come this far. Where do I want to go? Where else can I go? I will worship you, not because of the things you give me or the things you don't give me. I will just worship you. The Bible says God is seeking for true worshipers who worship him. Not because they want gifts and they are getting gifts every day from him. No, he says he's looking for true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. They will worship him anywhere, any day, any time, because the spirit has no physical place. The spirit is everywhere. You worship everywhere. The Bible says, I would that men will praise God everywhere, lifting up holy hands. You make a vow. God, even if you don't heal me, God, even if you don't give me children, I will continue to worship you. That is Elizabeth. And God says, you know what? I release my grace. I'm going to give you John. God is gracious. Jehovah is a gracious giver. Listen, anyone who is a worshiper of God, anyone who has made God their oath, and you've made an oath, no matter what, whether I get a gift, whether I don't get anything, whether my prayers are answered or my prayers are not answered, I will follow the one who is Alpha and Omega, the one who knows what I don't know, the one who sees what I don't see. I will always go follow, walk with him. Grace will be released to you. John will come in the name of Jesus. Anyone who is a worshiper of God, anyone who has made God their oath, listen, will always be remembered by God and never be forgotten. You walk with God and God will forget you. God is not wicked. God is not unrighteous to forget you. Listen, God's good and perfect gift, God's gift of grace, be released upon you today. Be released upon yours today. Be released upon the work of your hands. Be released upon everything you do. Listen, get now, stop laboring, receive his grace. The Bible says Abraham believed. God is saying, believe. Don't stop walking with me. And don't let your faith stand in things. You only have faith when you have those things. No, you only have faith in God and God alone. Oh, I will have faith in my prayers. No, have faith in God who answers prayers. That's the balance. Let your faith shift today, not in your prayers, but in the God who answers prayers. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the grace of God that has brought salvation, that brings deliverance, that has appeared to men, appeared to everyone in the name of Jesus. Let that grace come upon you, be within you. Receive the grace of God in the name of Jesus. I say arise. I say shine. Your light has come. The glory of God has risen upon you. You keep walking with God. You keep walking with God. Whether you understand, whether you don't understand, whether your prayers are answered or your prayers are not answered, listen, grace, great grace is released upon you today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray right now, those who don't know you, by your grace, through faith in your word, reveal yourself to them. Make yourself known. The best way you know, at everybody's level, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.